Thank you, Arjun. I think we've lost a lot of our people. They took a look outside and decided that they wanted to make a safe trip home. The ones that are outside, if you're coming in the door, please come and take your seats because we're going to get started on the final presentation of the forum this year. So throughout the conference, we've all seen Sam Brad hard at work. And I wasn't here on Wednesday, but I did see some of the drawings from Wednesday, and just an amazing job. Thank you. Thank you so much for the work that you've done. And for those of you that aren't aware, last night he had a little session, and there was about 15 or 20 people at the session, hands-on, and it was so much fun. Most of us that were there couldn't draw to save our souls, but we were able to be given a topic, and from our little scribbles on these little cards, we could kind of read what you know the topic was about. So that was absolutely amazing, especially on you know for me, because like I said, I can't draw to save my soul. I think I failed art every year of my school when I had to take it. So thank you for having the patience and the preparation that you had. We were all thrilled because we got to take these little kits home. So hopefully we're able to offer this next year and you'll be able to participate and get to take a little kit home with you too, because that's probably the highlight of our LGLA conference this year. We had a really good time. It was really fun to have hands-on. So please help me welcome Sam to the podium, and he's going to talk to us about what he saw throughout the sessions.
Hi, everyone. I know that I am standing in between you and a safe trip home, so I promise this will be a short presentation, but it's really nice to be able to explain a little bit about what I was able to capture in the pictures and kind of walk you through. And so what I'm going to do is just give a high-level overview. And do I have a clicker somewhere? Okay. So the images will be on the website for you to use. And the important part is that I really want you to use them. And so we talk about using these images in three ways. One, to refine an idea. Two, to engage your people, so your boards, your staff, your colleagues who weren't able to make these sessions. And then three, to share them with the public as needed. And so social media, newsletters, small chunks on your website. So you'll have high-res images. You can crop them and use them in useful ways. So we've heard a lot about different models. This wasn't part of the conference, but I find this a useful structure because we're talking about communication. And communication, to really engage people, requires three parts. You have to look at hearts and minds, you have to look at changing behavior, and then you look at structures. And each sector has a preference for the mode that they like to work in. And I would say for local government, elected officials, it's very comfortable to stay within policy, legislation, which means structure. But I've been hearing a lot of the themes around moving people's behavior and hearts and minds. And so for me, those were the themes that I really picked up on. So if you're looking at your public engagement going forward, you can think about, okay, we're using this mode a lot, how can we shift to behave, or how can we shift to engage people emotionally? So, starting off with Carol Ann Freed's collaborative conversations, the whole model of this chart is about the action-reflection cycle going forward. And the four tips: act like a camera, avoid your judgments, then move into feelings and needs, and her iceberg model underneath the surface. We all have these deep human needs, meaning, safety, peace, and health, acceptance, for example. That's what we're trying to communicate when we talk to each other. And when you can understand, then you're building on empathy, your brain calms down a little bit, and then you can make the ask. And not the ask just about what you can get from the other person, but the ask from yourself and what you're going to ask towards what matters to them, building on the empathy. That's when you get the shift to curiosity and letting the compassion move you. In contrast to that, I'm Right and You're an Idiot by James Hogan kicked us off. And so if you're ready to pull your hair out at the state of public discourse, it's because we hear a lot of toxic buildup in the public sphere. And really the public and the top right says, how could it ever be solvable? There is no point in doing anything. And so his point was that it's not an attempt to convince you. It's about taking up that public space. And why it works is that we have a deep cognitive dissonance. We all believe that we are good people, that we are doing the best that we can, and that the blame and shame advocacy isn't actually going to get things done. And the effect is tribalism, deep polarization, so we have team beliefs that can be powerful in both directions. But the good polarization is what we're looking for. The good polarization is moving us towards arguments that help. So we process information in narrative and story. We decide how we feel, and then we weigh the facts. So for example, you probably had prejudgments about me standing up before I had even begun talking, and there's probably not a lot of facts that I could convince you about why the visuals worked, but I know that you experienced it by looking at them outside. I know that you were moved in a different way. And his three questions, I think, are really powerful. So am I diffusing or feeding the polarization? Will people feel the story? And when people who are not like me, people who are on the other side, will they see people like them in the story? This was the Aboriginal Awareness Canada presentation, and this was, I thought, a great way of starting us off. What if I offend somebody? How do I know where to start? And how do I start the conversation? Cross-culturally, specifically. And James's point was that we need to be building positive relationships between Indigenous communities and neighboring municipalities. And we need to look backwards first to acknowledge Canada's history, our shameful history, that the effects that we are seeing today still, and encourage reconciliation. We don't know what we don't know, and the only way is to ask. And he was very clear that this was not a presentation to teach anyone in the room about how unique First Nations, Inuit, or Métis cultures operate, behave, or their own histories. He was there to talk about how you step out of your comfort zone, how you begin to ask, who do you extend an invitation to? There is no one way of being, there is no one way, there's no pan-Indigenous culture. And so you have to ask. And that takes a lot of humility, and it starts with respect and trust. So year after year, the courts have upheld Aboriginal rights. The calls to action from the TRC are a great place to go. And in turn, this will be a way to transform the country with restoring respect. You'll be rewarded because we're all here for it the long haul. And he pointed out the very animositous relationship that has existed historically between the federal government and Indigenous people. And so there is an opportunity for municipalities, communities, and neighbors really to begin to work together in a different way. What can you do? His recommendations: connect locally, take their online course, speak up, and reach out. Good advice all around. Bullying. So clearly the people who needed to be at this session on bullying were not in the room. And it's not a sport, it's a business meeting. So thank you to Tracy for underlining this. So do you like important discussions with divergent views, or do you like conflict? It's the same thing. Here is what the group came up with in ways to prevent or address the out-of-bounds behavior that we often see at councils. Good chairing, breaking bread together to build trust, making sure we hear minority views, maintaining your individual decision-making powers, those are lemmings kind of walking off the cliff there, following the rules, and respecting each other or faking it. These are all tactics. Oh, forward. Because nobody runs for office to ruin a community. So badly behavior doesn't influence others when you're in a minority position, and when you're in the majority position, the question that you can hold is, could I change my mind? Could I change my mind? Because what does someone else know about this issue that they see it differently? Here's her checklist. So a robust prep of potential candidates, orientation and onboarding, governance check-ins, a budget for training and pro-D, peer evaluation, and asking the community to expand the scope of what you're talking about. SFU Civic Engage had the session on diversity and inclusion in public engagement. We named a bunch of barriers first, everything from not having enough time to apathy to the public not feeling like experts. Oh, this poster was, for example, building a new playground and having the open house at 7:30 in the evening when the playground is never used. Underneath it all, how are you going to engage somebody that's different than you? And again, looking to cultural, cultural competency on the continuum. So on the very left side, the active belittling. On the very right side, holding culture in high esteem as cultural competence. And there's never a target that we will reach with this. It is always an ongoing process. And really, when I think about my journey on cultural competency, I try to look at my own behavior. I try to be self-reflective. I ask the people that are most effective to work with me. Try to do reading and expand, because I think that it's a valuable journey to be on, this continuum. So we talked about success models and case studies, and I tried to pack as many things into this picture as I could, everything from food to bus tickets to childcare. One of the case studies for Thrive talked about engaging the target audience early, which really flips the model from our expectations that the public engagement experts need to come in to lead. I've seen lots of great samples where youth facilitated tables of adults, and if you haven't tried that, I highly recommend it. Kent did the communication styles, and the goal is to co-create effective communication. We talk a lot about competition, and we need more humility to counter that, because when we're triggered, when we're in that fight mode, we're not thinking rationally. The Thomas Kilman model is very useful. So there's the online version for self-assessment if you haven't had a chance yet to download and try it. Everything from competing, avoiding, compromising, accommodating, and collaborating. And again, his point was that there isn't one best style. It's important to know when to move between these modes. The three components were about the what and the how. And it's really safe to focus on the context. It's very easy to define the problem, and the messy part is the people on the right-hand side. So how do you stay in that integrity? We practice writing scripts. And here's the ADEAR model. Acknowledge, describe, express, ask, and result. What's your intent, and what's important to them? Ethics in communication was today, so I'll just give a super quick recap. The public trust is currently on the ropes. We're drowning in info, so it's even more important to tell our story, or somebody else will. Floating the idea of a local government integrity commissioner, and stand up for what you think is right. And that's it. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share with you. I hope that, thank you very much.
Sam, if you could just come back for a sec, please. I just have a thank you card on behalf of the Leadership Academy to thank you so much for your participation in our event this year. And I hope that all of you enjoyed having Sam here. This is a totally different way of seeing the story. I have had the pleasure of seeing it before, but you know, Sam is great. He did a really good job for us. And I think it brings something unique in the way of looking at the story. It makes it kind of trigger some things. Oh, yes, I remember that little bit of that conversation. Pictures always are 1,000 words. So as I mentioned earlier, the summary of the 2017 forum will be available for download from our website within a few days. So that will be Erin's job, and you know, she's been busy on this whole project for months. So, you know, we really need to. So, lgla.ca is what we all need to be looking for if we want to check back and see what's there for us. Along with Sam's report, all of the handouts and presentations from the sessions will be there, as well as audio recordings of many of the proceedings. So we really are ramping up the information that's available to us instead of all of our little squiggly notes that we take home. It makes it so much easier, and actually, if we really thought about it when we came, we probably wouldn't write notes and we'd really be focused on what we're saying, because everything is available to us now. Makes it so much easier. You'll also find information on our certification program on the website. Please take some time to have a look under the program tab at lgla.ca. Many of you probably already qualify for level 1 or level 2 certificates in local government leadership. It's just a matter of recording the learning events you've attended and submitting your application form. I think there is a pretty good indication of what constitutes a learning event, but your local government associations, UBCM, this type of event, the AA forum, all of that forms the body of what you need to have before you can get these level of certificates. And for those of you who already hold these two certificates, we recently introduced our level 3 certificate, so please go and check things out and see what's required to get that certification. And you could be the first group in the ones receiving that level 3 certificate, which is kind of exciting. Please remember to complete our form evaluation. It only takes a minute, and you don't really realize how important it is to us at the Academy when we're looking at things, because we look at what's happened this year, we look at the feedback we get in order to build the program for next year. So it only takes a couple of minutes. Please take the time to submit it, and if you know anybody else that was here, please encourage them to do the same thing, because we require that feedback in order to build the program for you for next year. We want it to be even better than this year's one. It only takes a sec, honestly. This year we will be doing a prize draw. If you complete the evaluation and provide us with your email address, you will be entered into a draw for a free 2018 forum registration. That's a value of over $300, but we really think the experience is priceless. At this point, I'd like to thank you all for coming. It's been an excellent forum, and I'm so pleased to see so many of you here from all around the province. It's always great. There's never enough time for visiting, you know, that they should make the days, you know, 30 hours long so you could get to visit with everybody, but you only get little snippets in the hallways. Give yourselves a pat on the back to take the time out of your busy schedules to come down here to improve your skills and to take it back to your community. I think all of our communities benefit from things like this, and I'm really grateful that I've had the opportunity to come, and it's one of the ways that you can learn about, you know, some of the good things that are happening and some of the struggles people are having and how they're addressing those. It's a benefit to all of us. I'd like to thank my board of directors, and in particular, I would like to thank Arjun for stepping in for me on Wednesday. I really appreciate you stepping up, and it means a lot to me that you did that. And I'd also like to thank our wonderful staff, Aaron, who's just walked out of the room, and Edie and Pamela, who's sicker than a dog and still managed to stay here throughout the whole event. Thank you, Pamela. Please go home and get better. Take some time off. And I'd also like to thank the staff of the Radisson for all of their hard work and attention to detail, Linda, Kim, and Gary. It's been a pleasure working with all of you again this year. And I don't know about you, but I think that this is a great central place to have it. It's fairly close to the airport. People are able to come in on other modes of transportation. And for somebody like me that struggles to get into downtown Vancouver coming from the central part of the province, it's really easy to find, even though I do have help from my newbie, but I can still get lost with it. I'd like to really thank our sponsors, the Ministry of Community, Sport and Cultural Development, the Union of BC Municipalities, the Local Government Management Association, the Municipal Finance Authority, the Municipal Insurance Association, BC Assessment Authority, Fortis BC, Young Anderson Barristers and Solicitors, and Lidstone & Company. It's through their generous contributions and ongoing support of this unique leadership development opportunity, it's much appreciated by all of us. Lastly, I would encourage you all to stay engaged. Register for your area association conference. Plan to attend the annual UBCM convention. And certainly mark the 2018 LGLA Leadership Forum in your calendar. I think it's really important as representatives of our community that we look forward and embrace the learning opportunities that are provided. I know sometimes back at home we have to defend it, but if people would truly understand that we're not just here fooling around, that we are learning every day that we spend here. And so many times we take so much of this back to our communities and are able to implement it to make our communities a much better place to be. I just want to encourage you all to have a safe trip home And it was a real pleasure to be here with all of you again today. Thank you.